This is The Guardian.
I'm Grace Dent, and this is Comfort Eating from The Guardian. A podcast where we pay homage to the lesser celebrated foods in life. Because even as a restaurant critic, I believe the food that matters most is often that snack you cobble together when you're curled up on the sofa. Each week, I ask my guest to lift the lid on what comfort foods have seen them through their lives. Because you can tell a lot about a person from what they eat behind closed doors.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, friends. You guessed it, as ever, you find me in the kitchen. Feeling very autumnal today. Lots of leaves on the ground out there. There is a definite nip in the air. And I am making a hot buttered toasted bagel. I'm actually going to squash a very, very elderly banana. It's just lovely and squashy and sweet. Absolutely perfect for bagel. Today, I've got Jamie Winston coming round. Jamie's an actress known for her roles in films like Maid in Dagenham and Kiddlehood. Earlier this year, she even took on the iconic role of a young Peggy Mitchell in EastEnders. If somehow you haven't seen Jamie on screen, you probably saw her in the papers during her wild 20s, which played out in the tabloids alongside her mates like Lily Allen and Alexa Chung. She comes from acting stock. Her dad, Ray, is basically a national treasure, and I hear the family love food. So I'm intrigued to hear what the Winstons are grazing on when the cameras aren't rolling.
This is the perfect level of mushiness.
Almost too mushy.
I'm just sorry.
In your face, autumn. Jamie Winston, welcome to Comfort Eating.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Oh my God, you came through my front door like a beautiful Exocet missile, right? You're like a lightning rod of energy. I open the door and you've got this bright kind of emerald green trouser suit on. You had the big sunglasses on, didn't you?
I had my glasses on because I've been up very early this morning.
It was the most glamorous entrance. And you're also celebrities go into different categories, and you're in pocket-sized celebrities.
Pocket-sized,
You're
firecracker is what a lot of people call me.
Yeah. Borrower.
Yes. Borrower. God, my favourite.
Gorgeous, sexy borrower.
Oh, well, I'll take that. I'll have that. Put it in the pocket.
I've heard that you collect Barbies.
I do.
There's a Destiny's Child Barbie, a Barbara Streisand Barbie, a shirt Barbie. If such a thing existed, what would the Jamie Winston Barbie look like?
Now, I have never been asked this question, so I'm very pleased of it. If I was a Barbie, there would definitely have to be some sort of rave feature. Some sort of like...
catsuit.
A catsuit would be nice.
Is it 90s rave?
But it's a bit, not quite bucket hat. A headpiece. Let's go with a headpiece. Some sort of crystal headpiece and a tracksuit.
So at the start of every show, I ask the guests to reveal their ultimate comfort snack, the thing that gets them through the darkest of days. Now, what I will say, I never know what this is. It's kept secret from me. This is one of the most delicious smelling snacks that has ever been on this show. And it has, reveal the snack, please.
I hope you like it. I really do.
No, this is, oh my gosh. Oh,
we've got some cheesy, warm nachos, maybe with two different types of cheeses. We've got jalapenos, been in the oven just enough time to melt the cheese and to toast those two lovely chips. And this is my go-to. When I'm feeling a bit rough and I need a quick fix, we've got some sour cream, we've got sriracha sauce.
Do you know, So what I'm seeing in front of me is like quite a healthy tray of nachos, loads of cheese, jalapenos. You've got some sour cream sauce. It looks utterly delicious. What is the milk for? Is that to...
Well, the milk is usually when...
I'm going in.
Yeah, right, I'm going in too. Do you mind?
Oh.
Oh, and look, it's quite nice because you get to share. You know, you get to sort of have a little tussle with it.
Mm. Oh, I've just got some really squishy, cheesy.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get involved. Get
the sauce, the sour cream.
I'm going to put some...
I'll put that there so we can both get stuck in. I mean, look at that.
When do you eat this? Oh, there's heat there. There's heat. That's good.
Bit of spice, creamy. And you would normally, if you're a normal, lovely person, would go for some sort of guacamole, but I tend to sort of be in quite a hurry when I want this. You get the urge.
Mm.
And it's usually when you're feeling a little bit hungover. Let's face it.
Would you like a little cup of milk?
Oh, go on then.
Is this to take away the heat of
the heat. And sometimes when you're feeling a bit worse for wear, or you know what? I've got my time of the month.
Yeah.
I really crave my dairies and my milk and something quite spicy. But when I'm hungover, it's... Oh, cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Milk always hits the spot. Jamie Winston, as well as being an actress, in your time, let's not put a fine point on it, you have been a bit of a party girl.
I have.
The thing is, with you, we have both been around London for a long time, and I feel like I saw you right through your 20s because I think that, you know, you were very often in the papers, but always at that point when you were partying, you know?
It was.
So you're alongside boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
Alfie Allen, his sister, Lily.
Yeah. There was a little bit of a rat pack going on.
It was the Nick Grimshaw, Alexa Chung crowd. When once asked, are we talking sex, drugs and rock and roll? You replied, yeah, there was a lot of that going on. But what I want to know is, how fully did you perfect the art of the big night out?
Well, for me, going back with what you just said, you know, I think it was from like being a sort of actor's daughter and you suddenly become an actor and you're in the limelight. You know, it was kind of like when I was from 18 to sort of 24, which I think is when you're supposed to be really partying.
Yes.
You know, like I think that's what's normal, right?
Yeah.
You know, and at the time, yeah, we were stumbling out of clubs. Yeah. Yeah, we were going out all night dancing. But the worst thing about it was I'd be going home on the tube and in the same outfit and there would be a tube full of people reading the paper going... up and down, realizing it's me in the same outfit. And that, yeah, that used to trigger fear and anxiety.
What was an absolutely bog standard night out with the Rat Pack at that point? I want some names and places. Where would you go?
So we would usually start, I mean, my territory was always Soho, knocking around Trocadero, and it would be my stomping ground. So would go from Camden, crawl to the pubs. There was a really good pub called The Birdcage at the time,
yeah,
which Andy Oliver used to run. And then we would end up in Soho. And there was just so always, I was always finding my place in the queer clubs in Soho. That was where I could, no one blinked an eyelid. You could pretty much do what you wanted to do. And no one cared because this was after I sort of did kidulthood and people, you know, boys were shouting things down the road to me, certain lines that I'd said in the film. Yeah. And you're kind of like, okay, this is getting a bit graining now.
Did you ever go to the box?
Oh, God, did I? Honestly. I think I lived at the box for a while.
Honestly, I think that that was one of the moments where I realised I had to turn my life around.
You have those moments. It was just, why I think am it, I still here?
I think it was like 4:15 in the morning once, and I was like lying on one of those beds that they have in the back room.
I feel like we might have met in the, to be honest.
In the box, and I just thought, Grace, look at yourself. Look at your life.
have a proper look at yourself in the mirror moment. Oh, never stare in the mirror too long, by the way, guys. Yeah, we used, you know, that was our haunt. I actually, it's where I met Miley Cyrus. It's where I had I had a great night with her in there one night.
What cocktail did you order when you went into the?
Oh, sparkling water, you know.
just a sparkling water for me, please.
No, for me it's always been tequila. I'm always a tequila girl. Tequila, soda, and lime. No hangovers. It's an upper.
Yes,
and I don't tend to get hangovers from it. If it's a good tequila.
Did you ever get in a rickshaw, though? I always think that's the cut-off point for me.
Yeah, I did. I think one night I was sort of seen kissing Jodie Harsh goodnight. So these are things that you've kind of had to go... I had to go through, but I wouldn't take any of it back, you know. Yes. I wasn't doing anything a normal sort of 21-year-old would do, I don't think.
Just very, very public, wasn't it?
Yeah, very public and very... you know, and it's kind of weird because as a girl, you get perceived very differently, you know, like Amy and but if you're a man, you know, you're a rock star, so you get away with it. But just have to kind of get a really thick skin.
Let's go back a bit. We'll go back into your childhood. Because you witnessed the sort of machine of celebrity for years before you start acting because of your dad, Ray Winston, the East End's answer to George Clooney.
Oh, we all love that. I personally find it quite sexy.
Yes. Born in 1985, you grew up in Enfield, North London.
Yeah.
With your sister Lois, your mum Elaine, and of course your dad. Now, most people would assume that being the daughter of an acting great, you grew up in a huge mansion somewhere out in the sticks, surrounded only by A-listers. Tell me about your early life.
My early life was super normal and part of a community. I grew up on a council estate in Enfield. It was brilliant. I had loads of kids to play with. Dad was just like a jobbing actor. And then it was really when I was around sort of 12, 13, I want to say, that this word Hollywood. And I remember this word Hollywood came into our lives. And it
but
was
before
like,
that, you're in a council flat.
Yeah, it was all very normal. Dad had a few jobs and he was acting. Yeah. But he didn't really get his big break until Gary Oldman came along with Neil by Mouth.
Paint a picture of the flat. What's it like? Tell me, is it fun? Is it joyful?
Bedroom. It was great. You know, mum and dad were always having parties, always, you know, not quite dinner parties, wasn't big enough for that. But it was, Halloween was always quite big in our house. Yeah. I remember sitting at the top of the stairs and watching people sort of in all sorts of outfits walking past the stairs. But it was great. It was always quite a social household and there was always music playing and we had a great upbringing, you know. We weren't minted, but it was, we always had nice clobber on, you know. We always had good stuff and I really loved being part of a community.
If your dad often goes away and does things, tell me about mealtimes when he comes back.
Oh, mealtimes. I mean, it was, you know, it was, we've always been quite a traditional family. And even now to this day where it's kind of a very different setup, but we're very traditional with a roast dinner. You know, if dad's been away for a while, I mean, even Dad, when he's away, you know, we're getting pictures of what meat he's cooking. We're getting an update, hourly update. He's got very militant with his cooking in his older age. And, you know, we know exactly what sort of potatoes he's having on a Sunday. So we all come together. My mum's a great cook as well. Usually when he's on his way home, it would be, you know, put the order in for a Chinese.
Yeah.
A nice, big, dirty Chinese.
Yeah.
That's where we all come together as a family.
Tell me about the Winston family Chinese takeaway order.
Oh, I mean, it's...
I want to know your...
It's called going through the cards.
I want to know your three main dishes.
Well, it's a duck. You know, we always have the duck.
Go on for the duck.
Me personally, I'm always having the dumplings, the grilled pork dumplings with the vinegar.
Right.
It's a must. And we have to get like three portions because one of them is solely mine. I don't share my dumplings.
Right, building a picture now.
It's a problem.
See, the gloves are off. When that food arrives, you're not sharing those dumplings.
No, I'm not sharing those dumplings for no love, no money. They're mine.
Were you an adventurous eater when you were a little girl?
I was quite adventurous. I mean, but saying that, my main snack would be when I get home. I couldn't have a lot of dairy when I was a kid. Couldn't have chocolate. I used to get migraines. And that used to trick. So for me, my snack, which to my mum's delight, was a whole cucumber.
What?
I know.
A what, what?
A whole cucumber.
I mean, that's...
When I get home, I just want a cucumber and munch through it. And my son does the same, so I'm very lucky.
How did your parents get you to eat things that you might not want to try?
Bribery, straight up bribery. Let's not beat around the bush. It was like, you know, I remember my dad sort of being, you know, there'd be an oyster. We'd always go out for dinner with mum and dad.
How did they get you to eat the oyster?
Well, I would sort of I was very savvy and I would always like to sort of earn a £5 note any way, shape or form. I always had a grafting gene in me. And I used to say, well, you know, how much would you go? And it would get up each time. But, you know, I think I got up to like 50 quid one night.
See, that's good.
But, you know.
Very mercenary.
Very militant, some might say.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
So, you've got this live, a small community where you know everybody, but it's in London.
Yeah.
Then the family moved to East Anglia when you were in your teens.
We did.
And you go from an all-girls school.
Yeah.
To a mixed one in Essex.
Yeah.
Now that is quite the shift for a teenage girl. How hard was it to adapt?
It was difficult. Thinking back, it was just weird because I was quite a tomboy and I was just used to sort of multicultural schooling. Yes. And moving to Essex, although it was great and there was boys and I was quite into boys, you know, I wore a football kit under my uniform and I soon quickly realised that like stud earrings weren't going to cut it, you know, like you need to get a lip on and you need to have a Burberry bag, fake or real. You need to have a sort of look. And it was kind of weird for me because it was probably one of the best things my parents did for me in terms of confidence building. Yes. and breaking out of my shell, but also sort of acting and learning how to, right, well, that's not working. Because I remember I almost went down like being bullied route.
Yeah.
And I just thought, Well, that's not me. You know, I've never really rolled with just one gang. I've always mixed it up.
Would you have been a totally different human being if they'd kept you at an all-girls school and you'd never got near any boys?
Maybe. Maybe, you know, these are things...
Because I often think that boys were the biggest downfall of my entire life. That yeah, moment that you just said there, you know, when you just said that, and I liked boys, and I think, yeah, there was just this
point
where...
There was a bit
where...
of a big distraction. Just the idea of it, just like, wow, you know, yeah. Like people like snogging in the schoolyard, and
it's
you're
magical.
Like, it's a whole new world.
One of the greatest things that I heard about your family was that you missed London, a place that's known for its boozers, and you're in the countryside where there's far fewer pubs around. So I read that your dad took matters into his own hands.
Winstones, yes. Raimondo's bar in the garden. I mean, literally, I look back and I think, you know, it was such a great experience moving to Essex. And I think at the time, before we had sort of had anything sorted in the garden, there was kind of sheep in the garden. It was just kind of like, oh, this is different.
Okay.
And I think before we even had, like, the house finished, there was a pub in the garden. I think before I had my own bed, there was a pub installed. But, no, it was great because all of a sudden our whole family, you know, uncles and aunties, we all had a place to sort of, you know, get together. And, yeah, we've had some right parties in that place. It's been great. I had my 18th there. I had my 21st there. This was brilliant, but
so I've come down to Raimondo's. I've got 3 days past. I've come down to Raimondo's. I'm having a really strong double gin and tonic, but I'm hungry. Ooh. What are the bar snacks at Raimondo's?
Okay, so mum is the mother of all mothers. She just wants to attend and host and. You know, it's usually, you know, you might get a nacho. You might get a cheesy nacho.
Picky little kind, but like meze type things.
The meze sort of things. Mum's loves a pita and a dip. She just loves it.
Yeah.
But you will have, you know, the occasional sort of stuffed garlic as well. Stuffed mushroom, garlic mushroom.
Pork scratching.
Stuffed garlic. Do you know what? Dad likes a pork scratching, but no, I'm not too into them. But you know what? You'll get what you ask for. Mum and Dad sometimes do believe that it's going to be the end of the world. So there is a stock cupboard with pretty much everything in it you need. You'll get a pie if you want it.
So hang on.
But one of those pies out of the tin.
Are your parents stockpilers? Are they the kind of where you go and they've got like 18 tins of Marifat peas?
They do like a tin.
Almost like they've had a word from the government that you haven't heard about. Is this going to be a zombie attack or something?
They're not so extreme stockpilers, but they've got it all going on. And, you know, they'll keep you fed and they'll definitely keep your cup full.
At some point, you start following your dad to work on set. You try your hand as a runner.
Yeah.
And as an assistant. And we're talking about productions like Spielberg-level productions, yeah. Scorsese productions. You're still only a teenager.
Yeah.
At this point, what was that like? Your eyes must have been on stars.
My mind was blown. Yeah. Because at that point, I wasn't doing so well in school. You know, he was like, you're very active and you're very motivated. Mm. So I started sort of being his personal runner and a sort of assistant.
Yeah.
And sort of seeing that experience on set and, you know, seeing Spielberg at work, it's incredible because those sets are built, you know, that room in Indiana Jones, that it's with all the boxes, you know.
Yes.
That's a real room. So my mind was blown and I got to see sort of Cate Blanchett do a scene and she's so incredible to watch and also just see how a big scale production and how these actors work. I was just kind of like, I can do that.
Film sets, they're enormous, aren't they?
Huge.
They're like little cities almost. Tell me about the food on a movie set like, is it Departed?
I mean,
that's the Scorsese one, isn't it?
Yeah, our dad would cook his own food. Dad cooks his own food on set.
Sorry.
And I know.
How?
He's got a little barbecue and he does a steak. I know.
I love it.
It sounds like something out of Goodfellas, but it's true. You'll smell the steak cooking.
Hang on. So your father turns up on set and obviously and he's shown his trailer, which is probably a considerable trailer or wherever he's staying, and he's got his assistants and his dressers and people come in every day with menus. And your father says, can I set up my barbecue?
He does his own steak. He likes to prepare his own food. It's very, very sweet.
I love it.
And he'll invite some of the other, you know, the other actors or the writer or, you know, the director. But, you know, a catering on set is a make or break deal.
Yes.
But for the whole crew.
This is the most serious you've been in this interview.
No, because it's
when somebody has given you rubbish food on a set, it's suddenly...
No, because it's a long old day, you know, and there's a lot of energy you need and, you know, you get something that looks depressing and, you know, you're not going to give the good energy you need.
After school, you moved back to London and you live with your sister.
Yeah.
Which is
talking about my squat days.
Yeah, which is this is your first taste of true, I don't live with my parents, freedom.
Yeah.
What year is this?
Right, so 2002?
Is this before your sister was in the band?
This was kind of during.
I remember when your sister...
This band was amazing. In
the band with Adam Alphabet.
Yes. Yes, she's still singing now. She had a little break from the industry because she was concentrating on her writing and her acting.
And where were you living?
We were living in Stoke Newington at the time. And yeah, we lived in a squat. There was about six of us in this house. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. I mean, you know... The four of us eating, you know, would be lucky to sort of, you know, sexy beans on toast. It would be sexy beans on toast.
Hang on, what makes beans on toast sexy? Oh,
just a little bit of bacon cut up and a little bit of onion. And maybe it may be sort of a lovely posh bread if we're going out there, you know, and lots of butter so it all melts in together and just becomes quite sexy.
Yeah.
Sexy beans on toast.
Yeah.
Pretty much lived on that, I think, throughout that whole year.
One recipe. You don't need anything else.
And I was obsessed with drinking the coconut water out of can with the bits in. That was like...
That is so 2003.
Isn't it?
Where we all thought that if we just drank coconut water in a can, then you could stay out from Friday until Monday night.
It, you know, and it then just have,
it's got electrolytes in it.
It's really good for you. Yeah.
Your first acting role comes when you're 19.
Yeah.
In the British crime drama Bullet Boy.
Yeah.
You then go on to appear in big hits, Kidulthood,
yeah.
Donkey Punch, Made in Dagenham. Like your dad, you're starring in films with this real sense of Britishness about them. What do you think it is about the Winstons that makes you guys the perfect fit for movies like that?
I guess it's an authenticness, you know. We are extremely British in that sense, but you know, I'm a half Irish as well. So I think my background is sort of, we really are sort of salt of the earth people, I guess. But in terms of roles that have really appealed to me, it's always been, and I would say my dad, and I guess I've been really heavily inspired by my dad's career, whether it's, you know, don't conform to the norm, and there are stereotypes that people play into. And that, because I talk like that sometimes, you know. But I think you sort of can lean into it and then expand it. You know, you sort of, okay, I'm going to do this, but then once I get that, I'm going to make it my own. And
you're in your mid-20s, and this must have been the first time that you were Jamie Winston, the actress,
And you're not any longer, you know, the daughter of an actor. This is a moment that you're really successful now in your own right. So how does that feel? You're in your 20s when this happens.
It feels really nice saying that. It's really sweet. Yeah, it's felt good. I've always never played against it because I know how that can appear. I'm super proud to have my dad and what he's done in his career. But I've definitely, people have always said, oh, you know, it must be easy for you to get in or get that job. And it's like, it's really not actually. You really have to show that you can do it.
Is there a pinpoint where you thought, oh my God, I have actually done it and proved that I can act? Was there one movie, one role that you just thought, oh, I'm off now?
It was quite early on because I was still in the denial stage before I started acting of like, no, I'm not going to act because that's what everybody expects me to do. Yeah. And it turns out, you know, like doctors' children go on to be doctors or it is in your blood. And as soon as I got in front of that camera, I didn't care what people think.
Yeah.
And it was probably kidulthood where it was so, because people were saying to me, oh, you know, this role is intense. You know, she's a young girl. If it's the first time I'd sort of seen myself on screen and it was like, okay, that's not me. That's Becky.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is what I'm going to do.
Earlier this year, you got engaged.
I did.
Your long-term boyfriend, James.
Yes, my lovely James.
You got engaged at Glastonbury.
We did.
A place that is very close to your heart.
Yes.
Music festivals, they can get a little heavy going over the weekend.
Yeah.
What tried and tested food gets you through a festival?
This year was stunning food. Really amazing, like vegan options. Everybody's really gone quite vegan. Yes. And actually, that's what you want to be eating at a festival because it just feels... But, I mean, obviously you need the stodge.
Yeah, do you never just want a pie or something like that?
No, of course you want a pie. One year I was given VI pie pass.
Sorry, I've never been so impressed. It was... You had a VI pie pass.
It was
pass.
Epic, to be honest, Grace. It was legendary. And I was the VI pie-er, you know, I had a load of hungry ravers behind me. And I remember sort of standing in the queue and being like, oh... You know, what does this pass, VI pie pass, do? And they were like, well, you know, they're free pies. And I was like, free pies? Like, what is free pies? Don't pay for food. It's amazing. Everyone in the line I got pies for, and they obviously didn't invite me back. But, you know, you give a girl VI pie pass, you know.
But that
one
moment,
to feed the people.
That moment that you must have been able to go, the pies
are
on
me. Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of pies that year.
So magic. You didn't eat any cold beans out of a tin after two days walking around in Shangri-La.
One of my first years I went, my best friend, we were so overprepared and literally brought a tent with no poles. It was called 12 Poles Short, our 10. And she brought I remember thinking, what are you doing? Like, you know, we got to the point where we were just eating tomatoes like apples. It was just very feral. And she'd brought tins of soup. And I'm like, what are you going to cook that on? Like, I don't know what we thought was going to happen. But, you know, you're like going to war.
Babes, we're just going to watch a few bands.
We're going to watch a few bands and maybe buy a pie.
You and James and your six-year-old,
yes,
Raymond, live in Hertfordshire.
We
now.
Do.
What made you leave London for the countryside?
I just felt like I needed a bit more space,
yeah,
in terms of my mental health, in terms of just having a six-year-old. God, he's got quite big already. And living in Dalston, it was amazing and I loved it. But I just felt like we needed... They just seem to be blocking every road. They seem to be closing every road. You can't drive from one road to another.
Yeah.
I got a bit road ragey.
Yeah.
So I found myself going, I can't do this anymore.
Do you know what's making me laugh is that you've lived one of these lives where you've had the most fun you could possibly have in London, staying in the box until 4 o'clock in the morning and all this, and you finally left over traffic calming measures.
I was just like, I'm kind of done. I'm definitely not ruling out coming back. I love London. It's, you know, I was born in Camden. I'm an East London girl, really.
So there's three of you at home?
Yeah. And, well, four of us with Donnie the dog, Donnie Disco.
What is on the menu on your average night at home? Right, if I came back with you tonight, what is getting cooked for tea?
I don't know, tonight would probably be, what day is it, Thursday?
It's Thursday.
It'd probably be bangers and mash, to be honest.
Oof.
Bangers and mash, but no gravy. Because Raymond doesn't like gravy.
What?
It's very, very cold. I don't know what's going on.
It's going to hurt his throat. You need to watch. You need to...
You need to look into that.
So no gravy. He's just... Well, he's not keen on onions. So I think we need to start introducing it without the onions.
Yeah. What about if nobody fancies cooking?
Oh, Domino's. Yeah, I'm a stuffed crust girl. You know, stuffed crust, yeah. Salami. Salami dream. It's delicious.
Is that a name, the salami
I don't know,
dream?
But it
sounds rude.
It's sounds that rude.
I've had a few salami dreams.
Matron. Yeah. It's,
Hello, salami dream.
I'll have the salami dream, please. Stuffed.
Jamie Winston, thank you for comfort eating with me.
Thank you.
This episode of Comfort Eating was produced by Jack Claremont. The executive producer is Lucy Greenwell. The music was written by Axel Kakutier. Mixing and sound design was by Solomon King. If you like Comfort Eating, then please go and leave us a review, and you can follow or subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And use the hashtag ComfortEatingPod get in touch about the podcast or share your own comfort eating delights.
This is The Guardian.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.